What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we have officially made it to episode 34. Last week was 33. I messed up. This one's 34. Just in case you're counting.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. Just when we hit the milestone numbers, that's when it'll count. That's when it'll count. But yeah. This week, just want to catch up a little bit before we get into the main topic of the day or night, because we're recording at night.
True.
But yeah, recent events. We saw, I forgot what the name of the developer is, but they're the developer who's making the new Demon's Souls for PlayStation 5. Had an interview where they talked about adding or not adding an easy mode. And a lot of people have been talking about this, and I'm not going to stay too long on it because it's an old debate that pops up every time one of these games come up. Because on one side you have, or at least the side that I'm on, you have people who say, easy modes and stuff like that is about accessibility. There's the idea that like, yeah, you can play easier, and able-bodied people can play easier, but there's also people who are might be disabled who can't play at a level as someone who isn't, and so an easy mode might allow them to experience the game just like everybody else. The other side of the consensus is the developers made a game, and if they don't want an easy mode, they don't have to make one, which is true, but the idea is that even though they say that, they also get upset if a developer's like, you know what, I'm gonna make an easy mode. They're like, oh, you caved to these people who wanted blah blah blah, and it's like, what you're really doing is gatekeeping this game from other people. Like, it was difficult for you to play, and you were able to, overcome the challenge, if you will. And so if anybody gets to go through the same and see all the good stuff that you saw without going through that same struggle, you feel a way, which is asinine because it has nothing to do with you. Unless it's some type of, tournament or online ranking of sorts or something where you're competing, like older games like Miss Pac-Man in arcade or something like that. There's really no reason to be upset if someone chooses easy versus normal or hard or whatever the case may be.
Who are these people who are upset?
Really, what's the word? They're interesting people. I'll say that. But
I'm gonna go.
they always lose their minds. Like, this game is, just some games aren't for you. And that's a really asinine thing to say. It's a game. Like,
That's just a game,
I mean, you think
like
about, like, in the Special Olympics, right, where you have, like, track and field, they have a version where people are allowed to use wheelchairs, because, they're disabled, but they're still competing, and no one goes out in the middle of the track and like, no, you can't, you're not standing upright like I am, so you can't do this. Your gold medals don't count. Like, who does that? Like,
Yeah, who does that? I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump would do that.
he wouldn't even.
No, he would literally, if he saw somebody, if he was watching the same race, so we're talking about where some people were running and then other people in wheelchairs, he'd be like, hey, that person has a chair. Hey, they can't do that. And then he'd be like, wait, if I was a person in the chair, I'd do that. Yeah, you go with person in the chair. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Well,
that's exactly what happened.
he's trying to get over. I would
Totally.
totally see that. But yeah,
Totally.
it's a nonsense type of thing. At the end of the day, having more people be able to support your game makes sense. That's more money. You aren't losing anything from from an artistic standpoint. My biggest thing though was the fact that nobody seemed to understand that the challenge is relative. And I made a point to bring up the game. There's a really a supposedly difficult game called Cuphead that is like a shooter. It's a old like a it's reminiscent of shoot 'em ups from back in the day, and games like Contra, where you run, to the left or to the right, and you shoot things, and you have to dodge all these bullets and everything. I beat the crap out of that game, and from my peers, whether they were journalists or not, were saying it was mad difficult. So I'm expecting something crazy difficult when I got the game. And it wasn't. I mean, not until like towards the very end, but for the most part, it wasn't as difficult to me. And so I asked the question, like, did the developers, did they fail? Because their intentions was it to be difficult, right? And it's like, no. their intentions was solid because the game was is a good game. And it is difficult or more so for other people, but that doesn't mean that they failed. Their intention was met. They supplied a certain amount of challenge, which is hard to do. And I just happened to, it wasn't very challenging to me. At the same time, they have a harder mode or a harder difficulty that I could choose. You know, I could choose or you know, if it was too easy. So it's all relative. It's, you know, like something that's set to easy might be really difficult for someone who, you know, doesn't have the, you know, dexterity in all their fingers, you know, like the way I do.
Like
Or
me, because I play everything on easy mode. I mean, come on, man. I suck.
and that's
Just say.
okay. Like, especially nowadays with games having stories. Like, if you didn't have an easy mode, would you have seen, you know, completed the Tomb Raider and got to see the full story? You know what I'm saying? Or like, would you be stuck somewhere, upset that you can't finish this $60 game? Like, I'm.
Okay. Yes. Full disclosure. Yes, because hello, I am still stuck in the part in Tomb Raider where she's like in the water and she's supposed to shoot those guys so that she can come out of the
Yes.
water. She's, swimming around with a rebreather. I can't beat that part. I bought that game like 2 years ago. Well, maybe not two, maybe a year ago. I don't remember. The point is, I can't beat it and I am no longer playing it. And this is also
See?
why I like to watch other people play the video games and just say that I beat it too because I was there. I was winning proximate. Beating
Mean,
game proximate.
I feel you, and it's not, and there's nothing wrong, like. And so, like, there's a, you know, a extremely low percentage of people who actually complete games nowadays. Some of that is because the games are just way too freaking long, but also because,
Red Dead Redemption.
yeah, oh God. But yeah, like, it's also because of, you know, things of the of this nature. You know, you don't have to be, and 'cause then there's also the idea of like, so, you know, like, for instance, if I say I beat Tomb Raider, I'm not gonna say, well, Tess ruined it for me because she didn't beat it on my difficulty. I'm not even playing on her save. We're not playing together.
Exactly. I mean, we should so that I can at least say that I beat it
Right,
because
right,
right
right.
now I can't say anything except that I'm stuck.
Yeah, essentially, one of the coolest things was, there's two examples of, and this is not from like a you know, a hand accessibility standpoint, at least not when it comes to disability, right? I have two examples. One example was me and my wife playing Gears of War cooperatively. You can actually set different difficulties where I played the game on normal and she played the game on easy, but we're in the same game together. And so when enemies are fighting her, she actually has more armor. Like, she takes more damage than I do, and she delivers more damage to enemies than I do. But we're still playing in the same game, and we're still both enjoying it. It's both equally challenging for both of us, but she's set at a different level. And then another example was my oldest daughter playing Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey, there's a setting in the game that allows you to quick jump back into the game if you die. So typically what happens if you die in Mario, the screen goes black. It, you know, it has like a little message or whatever, and then it loads, and then it pops you back into the game at a checkpoint. Well, that was freaking her out because in certain levels of the game, you know, it being a platformer, there is a bunch of cliffs and things that you can fall into, and it would freak her out when the screen would go black. And so what I did was, there's a setting that allows you to immediately appear back where you were, and so if she falls, she's instantly back. And what that did was, it allowed her to keep playing and to kind of get over it. So now she plays on normal and it's not a big deal anymore. Like, you can start it easy and get, you know, go to the higher level or higher difficulty levels. You know what I mean? It's like, basically, there's good reason for it. Stop arguing. Like,
Stop it. Stop it, people. Just stop it.
and another thing in news, and this is like just cutting through the line. We're not, this is, you know, going to another genre. But apparently Lil Wayne like endorsed the president. He went,
Wait, what?
yeah. So on Twitter, he actually tweeted that he went to the White House, spoke about Trump's platinum plan or whatever, and was like, "This is a really good plan. We should listen to Trump," or some mess to that extent. And I was like, "Why? Why?"
No, he was canceled at one. No, you know what? It's not that Lil Wayne was ever canceled. It's just it's Lil Wayne. You know, you have to take him or leave him because he's freaking Lil Wayne. But now I have to go on Twitter and I have to say things. Like I can't believe that part of my evening now has to be spent going on Twitter and seeing politics trending, not Wayne. People reacting to rapper Lil Wayne's endorsement of Donald Trump for re-election. I hate life. Lil Wayne Weezy. What?
Yeah, I don't.
No, this ain't even Lil Wayne's. That's not even his profile. I don't know. I don't care.
I'm wrong, there was a blue check mark. And, you know, granted, 50 Cent joked about supporting Trump. Like he came out and said it was a joke, so maybe it's that. But he's standing. He took a picture with him.
Yeah, I see that, and so, now I'm very upset.
I'm like, dude, for so many reasons that we're not going to get into. This was horrible. We already spoke about Ice Cube, who I give a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt now after seeing this. But we've spoken about how, you know, how it looks like you're cooning. It just does. And you're being used and you don't know that you're being used, or you do know, and it's a fat check. I don't know, but it looks bad. And yeah, I mean, granted, I wasn't expecting much from some of these people anyways. I mean, we remember what Lil Wayne said about Black Lives Matter. I don't know if he was high at the time, but he looked all a crazy. And that was, that had been, you know, it's been some years. T.I. got at him, you know, a couple other people got at him. And he seemingly, by being quiet, improved. And so recently it's like, wow, like what happened? I don't know. So that's also something that happened this week.
Not okay.
It's not. It's not. The last thing I want to talk about music-wise is I listened to – so Busta Rhymes has a new album coming out tomorrow. Breaking the Fourth Wall. We're recording on Thursday. And he has a song with Kendrick that I think they actually recorded a while ago, but it's finally being released. This is like an album he's been working on for like 11 years. And the song is really good. It has a sample from Michael Jackson when he was with the Jackson 5s. And it's pretty cool. It's called Look Over Your Shoulder. And it's mainly, it's not the greatest of beats, but it's like, it gives them space to just rap in a rapid way. And how they're rhyming, like multiple syllables and things of that nature, it just sounds really dope. Old school hip hop type things. And so I'm a fan. I'm going to listen again to like catch everything. But they have a cool video out that actually shows you the lyrics as they're rapping. You might have to slow it down.
No.
It goes fast. But it shows you the lyrics. You're like, oh, okay, I see what you said there. Cool. Let me rewind that back. But yeah, just some cool stuff and not so cool stuff to talk about for this week. I hear that your neck feels a little bit better than last week.
Yeah. I have some exciting news about my neck. So I went to the doctor and he basically didn't tell me anything.
Oh,
so that's great. He gave me drugs though. So
that's good.
Yeah, it actually is not so bad because I now have an excuse to be at work and be loopy. Otherwise, it was just me being normal, my normal self being loopy or, you know, whatever. But now I get to actually take Tylenol 3, you know, Tylenol codeine and muscle relaxers. And I'm feeling kind of like jazzy. I'm sitting there at work looking at people. I'm in mid conversation and then I just like stop talking and they're like, were you going to finish that sentence? And I'm like, yeah, but the codeine just kicked in. So
wait, didn't the muscle relaxer kind of get you into this predicament?
No, the muscle relaxer didn't get me into the predicament. The muscle relaxer, I'll be honest with you. Muscle relaxers are great, you know, relaxing your whole body, but it's not really my muscle that are the issue. The issue is the bulging disc and it's the vertebrae. So what I really need is some traction therapy just to like kind of get the spaces back in between my vertebrae so that they'll stop like pinching these discs and then my nerves can stop being pinched. Like, that's kind of the deal. But the muscle relaxers are helping in the manner in which, like, because I'm hurt, like, so because I've got nerves that are being kind of compressed and I get that sharp pain, I then tend to stiffen up so that I don't move, so that I don't hurt myself. And then because I'm stiffening myself up, my muscles are then becoming tense, and it's kind of this vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so drugs, yay. And, you know, it's kind of fun to take those with coffee.
Very, oh, goodness.
Experience at work. And then I bought a pillow. I did. I went to the Sleep Number store.
Ooh.
And I got a new pillow. It cost $117 after taxes.
That's a solid pillow.
Solid pillow, for real, for real. I mean, like, that's a lot of money for a pillow, but I've spent more. I bought a bunch of Tempur-Pedic pillows last year. I bought some for your mother-in-law, and I bought some for myself. We had nice. A good time. Brought the pillows. And this time I just, you know, my neck was hurting so bad. I went into the store and she's like, okay, lay down on this pillow. And I was in so much pain. And she's like, I think this is the best pillow for you. I tried three pillows and I was like, you are so right. Thank you for recommending this pillow to me. It's one of those pillows that like has a, it's kind of like what it's shaped like a it's almost like a squared Pac-Man.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
you get it? Yeah, because like your shoulder kind of goes in the divot.
Yeah,
and
those are nice.
Yeah, they are. It's for side sleepers, and you know I'm supposed to be a side sleeper, but yeah. So I think my neck has been getting a little better. I mean, I'm still in a lot of pain, but not as bad as I was the other day. But I will tell you this: I went to the doctor on Monday. Right, he didn't do anything except give me drugs. I was in so much pain after I left the doctor. Instead of going directly to work, guess where I went?
Where?
Not the liquor store.
Oh, God.
I didn't do that because that's a bad combo.
Yes.
I went to the mattress store and what? I bought a bed.
Yeah, snitches. Man,
with an adjustable base.
Dog, you know you're getting old when you get happy about buying like house stuff. Like
seriously.
Like I got a bed, fam. You know how great that is.
You know, like all the young people are sitting here like, oh yeah, I cop them new shoes. Word, I got them new Uggs. You see them joints? Oh yeah, I got this new hat. I got this new jacket. Old people. Oh my goodness. So I bought this bed and it's a pillow top and it flips and it lasts for 25 years. It has a great warranty.
Nice.
My salesman, his name was Jim. And I thought, you know, like that's how we are when you get old.
Facts. Facts. Because when we
but
got
I bought
our...
a purple, by the way.
You got a which one?
I bought a purple.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'll let everyone know next Thursday after I get it, because next Thursday, I'm just going to let you guys know right now, next Thursday, I'll be doing the cast from my purple bed.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's, I mean, and it's also, I mean, outside of like just liking house stuff, it's also cool because it's helping with the, you know, the pain issues and stuff like that. Like
yeah.
You'll be able to sleep better, which means you'll have a better day for the most mm-hmm. part until you can, you know, find a more permanent solution. And this might be permanent here because I know the bed that we got a few years back is super helpful with sleeping, because I was having problems sleeping myself.
Yeah.
And it's been night and day. Granted, I still have some issues here and there, but for the most part, I think like throughout your life just sleeping on bad beds because you're mm-hmm. younger. Like, you don't realize how much, like, those bump beds aren't really mad comfortable at all. Like, they're really bad for you. But because you're
really
young,
bad.
You just kind of, like, almost like putty. You just fall into the holes or whatever, and you're okay. Your spine will pop back, you know? But, like, when you get older, it's like your spine's like, nah, I'm not doing that. Like, what do you –
Nah, fam.
What do you, I'm not laying on this. What is this? Like, no, I'm not doing this. Get that mess out of my face. Like, that's what happens. And so – you need to get, and then you can't, like, if you ever laid on your stomach, like, as a kid, you can't do that once you get a certain age. Your neck
you
be all effed up.
And you you shouldn't. I still don't trust anybody who sleeps on their stomach past the age of like 20. Like, in fact, past the age of 17. Like, I'm not even joking.
Nah, you can't. Yo, he ties one shoe and then the other. Nope. Nope. He puts everything on before putting that other shoe on. I can't rock with him. Nope.
No.
Nope.
Like, what kind of demon are you? There are certain people I do not mess with, and those people are people who sleep on their stomachs and people who put the toilet roll on backwards. It doesn't make sense.
What happened to you in life? Like, it's so wrong. Like, it's just, you're just trying to make me angry. Like, who did this? Like,
you go to that person, you say, who hurt you?
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
They just ruined toilet paper. They ruined toilet paper for everyone. I don't understand. I don't. Anywho, so beyond the tangents, we wanted to talk about, so last week we talked about some of our favorite films and what they meant to us and kind of why we liked them just a little bit. We didn't really break down a whole lot for time's sake, but we just wanted to share a little bit. We want to do the same thing this week, but instead we want to talk about some of our favorite television shows, favorite dramas. And one of those shows, we actually did speak about a slight bit last week, and that's Grey's Anatomy. Like, easily one of the longest running dramas outside of, like, you know, those soap operas like Days of Our Lives and stuff like that. Like, this Grey's Anatomy is like, man.
Yeah.
It's been on a minute.
It has. And so I didn't even get on Grey's when Grey's became a thing. All of my friends were watching, like, my roommates were watching it from college and stuff, my old roommates and, like, my friends. And I wasn't on Grey's Anatomy. I just didn't watch it. I didn't do it. I didn't have time for it. And I don't know, probably didn't have cable. But they were all pressed. And then this is what I'm going to tell you right now. The first episode of Grey's Anatomy, the first episode I ever saw was the hospital shooter episode.
Oh, wow.
That's not the first episode anybody should ever see. Like, no. You need to prepare for this. And I saw the hospital shoot. I was in my apartment and I was like, oh, well, you know what? Let me just turn on the TV real quick. And this was the live. This wasn't like, oh, it, you know, reruns. No, this was the hospital shooter episode. I was either in my apartment or I was at my mom's house. I can't remember because now I don't remember what year it was.
Right.
But I turned it off. I was like, let me watch Grey's Anatomy since everybody loves this show. All my friends are watching it. I start watching this show and stuff is happening. And then, you know, like within the first several minutes, the girl gets shot in the head. And you know, everybody's getting shot and everybody's dying. Like, all kinds of bad things happen in that episode.
Right.
I've never cried so much on a TV drama, like a TV show. And I was just crying and I could not stop. And I picked up the phone and I called my old roommate, Melissa. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, why did you guys watch this show? And like, is this every day? Does this happen every episode? Like, what's it? She's crying too. She's like, okay, the two of us. And then I was like, is Carrion watching it too? And she's like, I don't know. I'm going to call her. So we call her on three-way. And she's like, oh my God. You know, so, and then we're like, we're all talking. And then she's like, wait, Teresa, you watching Grey's? You're watching it now? Oh my God, I'm so happy you're watching Grey's. And I said, why did you make me watch this? And they're like, wait a minute, it's your first episode. So we're going back and forth. And then next thing you know, commercial break is ending. And they're like, oh my God, show's coming back. Okay, bye. Click. And then we keep watching and then cry and then call each other all at the next commercial break. It was a hot effing mess.
That sounds like it.
Episode.
That is a horrible episode to come in on. Like, that's, man, that was like the Red Wedding, like. Like,
yes.
You don't come in on the Red Wedding. That's not.
No.
You need time. Like, you know, you got to build yourself up as a human before you come in on stuff like that.
Seriously, you don't do that. And if I had no, like, I had no idea that this is what was going to happen. It was just, these are my friends. They've been battering me and pressuring me to watch this show. I was like, oh my God. And I had free time and I happened to be I must have been at my mom's house, I guess. And I was just like, let me just watch this. I think probably it was just in my room or something. And I could not, because it's like 3 minutes into the show when somebody gets shot. And it's like, whoa. But it's not the fact that the girl gets shot in the head. It's April. It's Dr. Kepner who is crying. Like, this is her best friend. And she's saying all these things. And she's covered in blood. And then it just gets worse and worse. And honestly, the saddest part of that episode for me was it wasn't even when Christina Yang is working on Derek after he's been shot. It's not even that. The worst part of that episode for me was closer to the end when Bailey ends up trying to save the life of that other doctor. Yeah. I forgot his name. And she was like, I'm going to save you, I promise. And she dragged his little ass Bailey, little 5 foot Bailey is trying to drag this 6 foot one, 300 and something pound guy, you know, to drag him from where they were just held up by this man. She faked that she was a nurse and didn't get shot and hit under the bed, you know, and then he gets shot because he said he was a doctor. And then she drags him all the way down the hallway to an elevator, trying to get him in the elevator to get him to the floor so she could get him to an OR and operate on him. And she told him, she was like, you will not die on my watch. You will not die. I am going to save your life. And they cut the power to trap the shooter.
Right.
And as soon as she can't get the power on, that's when she loses it. And she starts crying and she sits down on the ground and he's like, I'm going to die, aren't I? And I was like, I completely lost it there because, of course, like, you lose it because this is somebody who fought so hard and truly, truly believed that they had what it took to save the day. And how does that get ruined? Electricity, technology.
Yeah, I don't even think that was that wasn't even a season finale episode, I don't believe.
No, it wasn't. I think it was mid-season or something.
Yeah, like that was, yeah. I mean, and Grace, and mind you, it's not all doom and gloom, but it is a hospital show. So there's, you know, it's not like Scrubs in the sense where there are sad things that happen on Scrubs and sad, you know, arcs and things of that nature, but it's not, it's still a comedy or a sitcom at the end of the day. Whereas Grey's was like, you know, it was like The West Wing and you know, some of those other shows, like where it's trying to be realistic, even though some of the plot points are far and wide not. Like when people are seeing, like, you know, thinking they're seeing ghosts and stuff like that, like that's where it kind of gets into its more soap opera-y, you know, type of stuff. But outside of that, you know, following these doctors around and seeing how they manage all the stuff that happens. And then the fact that the doctors, because like with Scrubs and other shows like that, most of the time the main cast stays alive. You know, the main cast, you know, they, you know, even Scrubs, I know when they killed off one character, they got a lot of flack. And so they kind of brought that actress back as another character, right? And so, because it was like people were upset about it. And so, but with Grey's, like people, and granted, I don't know, like some people left the show for other reasons and then they had to kill off their character. But some people just, it was like, it was within the story that something bad happened and they end up dying. You know what I mean? And so it's like, there was a lot of trauma, like watching that show.
Yeah.
But
a lot of trauma in that show.
Good acting, you know, it's won, 38 primetime Emmys or something like that? Like 17 seasons and like, I mean, I haven't watched it in years, but the time that I did watch was pretty great.
Yeah, and I, you know, they had a writer's strike at one point, so I remember, like, so they did suffer from, like, some bad writing. Like, there were bad seasons, to be fair. I mean, like, first season, I think, was really good, but the show kind of had this very soap opera-y premise, like, just dramatic in the beginning, and it was supposed to be following these interns and whatnot, but it was just a lot of hooking up, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of, I'm like, damn, I really hope that this is not, I'm going into surgery right now, and I really hope that this is not what my doctor engages in a daily basis. Like, are you really sleeping with other residents in on-call rooms, and then you're getting 2 hours of sleep, and then you're coming into my room, you didn't even wash your hands, and you're about to do some surgery on me? I don't think so. You know, like...
But that seems like the point of... Because a lot of shows have gotten kind of like that, where, like, everyone... And not to sound, I guess, prudish, but it's like... Mm-hmm. I feel like certain parts that do that don't really help the actual narrative. It's like, You know what? This other show is getting all awards, and there's a whole lot of, you know, scintillation and stuff like that. So we need to put this in here. And it's like, but it doesn't fit this part. Like, this story doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, you can't shoehorn that. And obviously there's going to be some romance, but there were times, like you said, where it was like, this is just random. Like, this is mad random all of a sudden. Okay, I guess we'll go for it. And then,
So why does everybody have to, the things that I appreciate about the show are some of those storylines like they gave us that were really realistic to real life. And that's when it made me feel like not only, you know, Shonda Rhimes, creator and, you know, executive producer, but these writers and the directors of each show, because sometimes, you know, that each episode actually may have a different director. A lot of times it's the actors that are actually doing the directing, which is great. One thing I love about Shonda Rhimes, about like her employees get to elevate them, their careers. They're no longer just actors. They become directors and producers. And I love that. I really, really do love that about Shonda and her whole, you know, production system. But some of these storylines are really, really, really monumental, or they're really like their current events, or they are very, very, very interesting medical topics without a lot of this drama. Because some of the drama in Grey's Anatomy is just way too distracting and does bother me. Like, everybody dies of cancer and it's like, okay, can you guys stop? You got to pick a new disease. Just pick something else. Like, I can't do it. I don't want to do this anymore. Or just killing people off in a general sense. It's like, I understand that you have characters that need to leave, but in real life, people leave all the time without being killed.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, because then if you leave them alive, there's the potential that they could come back. That might be a big shock. Like, oh, such and such is back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's stuff like that you could do that doesn't always have to end in death.
Exactly. And I feel like a long time ago, they took the soap opera route, which was death.
Right.
But the things that I have to, that I truly do appreciate, were some of those medical breakthroughs that maybe we already knew were happening in real life, and then Grey's Anatomy put it in there. Like, they had the episode where Jackson was trying to do the new skin, like the skin spray paint, which is really, it's a really cool medical procedure that it's not that common, but it's like for burn victims that lose their skin. And a lot of burn victims actually die because their skin is gone and they die from infection or other kinds of complications. But there's this treatment that if you get it done very soon, you can regrow skin by using, it's a spray paint. Basically, it's an airbrush spray paint can with cells inside, and you basically like spray the body to grow new skin. And that's such a cool thing. Like, I learned about that years ago. I saw it on either YouTube. It was on YouTube or something that, you know, me, because I like interesting, stupid, nerdy things. And so I remember seeing this guy, this doctor, and he was spray painting the skin. It was purple. I remember that. And so fast forward a couple of years later, when they were doing that episode of Grey's where they were trying to compete about the coolest like medical innovation, there's Jackson doing the spray paint, the skin spray paint. And then somebody walks in, they're like, of course we're all going to lose to you because you're spray painting on skin. Like, what medical procedure could be cooler than that? And so I appreciated that. I appreciated the episode where Bailey was trying to save the little kid by giving him HIV. But instead of giving him active HIV that causes AIDS, they removed the viral component from it. They removed like the dangerous component from it and reprogrammed the cells to deliver white blood cells to save this kid from being a bubble boy. And those are real procedures. Like, that exact procedure that she was doing is a leukemia treatment.
Oh, wow.
And like, yeah, you can take viruses. I mean, HIV is a crazy virus. It's one of the smartest viruses out there that programs your T cells, the things that you need the most in life, to reproduce more of itself and murder you at in a certain amount of time. You can take HIV, delete those negative pathogen DNAs or whatever, RNAs or whatever, and reprogram the cell to carry a completely different thing, which could actually save your life.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then they go on to do other things. There's an episode where this black boy is being, he's brought in, he got shot like 10 times by the police. And they're like, what happened? This kid, he's a kid, he's like 13. And they're like, well, we got a call of African-American male, da 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 da. And they're like, he's a kid, why'd you shoot him? And they're like, well, he didn't look like it. He's huge, he's big. And we thought that he was committing a crime. He had something in his pocket. They're like, gum? So they had this whole episode and about, you know, basically police brutality against young black boys. And so I have to appreciate them for that, that this show does take these current events and does try to make them relevant to this audience and being like, hey, this is real stuff. We're not just going to give you drama. We're going to give you real stuff. So that's why it gets a plus for me.
Yeah, it's still going. I believe they're still on season 17 because of the, you know, COVID and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely still going. Another show. So I wanted to kind of go back and forward. Granted, Grey's is kind of like all encompassing in terms of time right now. But I also want to go backwards because, and I want to go to this particular show because they're talking about a possible reboot. And that's New York Undercover. Super fan of the show from back in the day. Only lasted, I think, 4 or 5 seasons. And recently there was rumblings, I think within the last 2 years, rumblings about another show, another, you know, version of the show coming back. And it's supposed to be on NBC's new streaming service, Peacock, whenever that comes out. I'm not sure when. And so that might be one of their flagship TV shows. But so, you know, I thought it would be interesting to talk about. Beyond that, though, it was a dope show from, I guess, a black person's perspective.
Yeah,
or just an urban perspective, I guess. Because it was a crime drama. You know, you had two detectives, you know, one black, one Latinx. Malik Yoba played one of them. And I can't
remember. And Malik Yoba's lips weren't ashy back then.
Right. Plus for that, so what's dope is that it had, so it was influenced also by hip hop, so definitely culturally relevant with some of the things that were going down. Each episode actually started with a hip hop song. You actually had guests, like special guests, who are artists. They were either playing themselves, like there'll be like a crime at a concert or something, and so they were playing a rapper, or they were playing someone else. I believe like Fredro Starr from Onyx was a character on there at one point as well.
He was.
So and he's on everything. He was on Moesha, like he's everywhere. So
yes. he couldn't get enough, like he couldn't, he never said no to work.
I'm not mad at it. Like that's money.
And he always played him, like either played himself or he played the same type of person.
right, exactly. And so so that was dope. So like it was really cool, this ensemble of people that would, you know, it would be, what would happen was really cool because they would show a crime being committed and you didn't really know the finer details of it. You just know that something went down. They would show, it would be undercut with the music and, you know, thematically fit with the music. And then after that goes down, it would show, you know, they would do the New York Undercover, you know, opening, and then we'd have the two detectives learning about the crime. And then from there, they would have to go solve it within, you know, 25 minutes or whatever. And it was dope. Like, it was sandwiched between, you know, I think Martin and Living Single, which was also dope. So this is like, you know, I don't want to say UPN. You know how like UPN had the, you know, Friday joints where you had all the black sitcoms right behind each other? This was like NBC's, like, you know, urban hour, or not hour, but like, you know, slot where you had, you know, some really cool shows. New York Undercover was one of them. And so we were already pumped because you had some really great shows before it. And so when New York came on, it was like, all right, this is, it's getting serious now. We got the jokes out the way. It's time for to solve some crimes. And so they had some really good stories. It was cool to see, detectives wearing clothes that we would wear. Like
Yes.
Malik had Tim's all the time, and like, the baggy pants, puffy jackets, and like,
Yes.
it just looked New York. It looked like hip hop, and
It looks
that
so cool.
it resonated. And the writing was good. Like you wouldn't, it wasn't something where like you would think like typically like, okay, this isn't, they're not on CSI level. They're not on, in a sense because they're trying to be urban. Like, no, they actually had really good writing. Until season four. Like season four was kind of, they killed off a bunch of people and it just
Yeah.
went
Like Eddie's
sideways.
dad. Like I was like
Yeah, it was
Eddie.
like, oh man, and like Malik's partner, I forget the actor's name. I think it's Michael
I forgot
something.
his name.
But
Yeah. But his name was Eddie on the
he
show,
dies in the most, it was just disrespectful. And it was in the opening of the first, like season four. And spoilers if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. But like
so.
he dies in the opening. Like that's the crime. That's the crime. It's a, I'm not gonna lie, they were brave for doing this. They were
Yeah.
brave for starting your season, your final. They didn't know it was the final one, but or maybe they did. That could have been why they were killing off everybody. But they started the final season with a double homicide where two of the detectives were killed, and Malik Yoba's character and some of the other people that was in on it were trying to figure out like what happened, like how did this hit, how did people, two police officers get killed without anybody suspecting a thing. Like I think one of them goes blown up in his car or something like that. Like it was crazy. And that was the beginning, right? And so it was a show that I think spun off of from the more harder law shows
Yeah.
and allowed a different type of agency, a different type of, the problems that they were going after or the crimes that they were going after wasn't the high crime call, high blue collar crime. It wasn't the, human trafficking stuff that you might see on like Law and Order. It was
Right.
mostly like hip hop related. Like one episode was, a kid had some dope shoes and he gets shot and killed.
Yeah.
The guy robs him for his shoes, and then Malik Yoba's son sees it happening and go gets a gun to try to enact some sort of revenge. And
Yeah.
so, as a detective, he has to try to keep his son safe. And, there's this whole, there's this issue with, in doing so because he's not with, him and his wife is split up. And so he's like, they're both like doing the single parent, co-parenting thing.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to, let his wife know, like, hey, keep an eye on our son. He,
Right.
who is he hanging out with? This sort of thing. And she's like, well, if you were around more often. And so there's this drama,
Yeah.
that's, like a, I don't want to say like a black drama in the sense, but like it's something that we can recognize, right?
Exactly, it was relevant to us.
Right. And then on top of that, there's still the crime of the shooting. So, like it was dope. It was kind of ahead of its time in a little, in a bunch of ways. And it actually, in some ways, is a precursor to shows like The Wire. We're gonna get to that in a second, but it's kind of like that because it's some of the elements that made that show popular are in New York Undercover.
Yeah.
It can be corny, like
Yeah, there's
mad
definitely
corny,
corny moments.
mad corny. Oh man, but at the same time, I felt like the writers and everything were genuine in trying to portray a stylized version of like a New York cop show. And they did pretty decent, I think.
Yeah, I like that show. I love I shouldn't say like. I loved that show. I did. And we were like, I remember my sister being like, "You're gonna." I was like, "Oh my God," because like she was in love with Eddie, and yeah. And then yeah, I was just like, I think I always had a thing for Malik, but I had a thing for Eddie too, for real, for real. Whatever. That show was just so cool. They looked so cool in their SUV and in their puffy jackets, and they looked so cool. I remember when Malik Yoba was with Michael Michelle,
Yeah.
but and then that whole thing with the girl, the singer, he had to like be the bodyguard. He was being a personal bodyguard for that singer, and then Michael Michelle was like, "Are you cheating on me with her?" And, like,
Yeah.
that was a good show.
It was prime time television. That was solid. I do hope if they do bring back have the show come back, that they do bring back some of the older characters, that they do kind of incorporate the older feel. I guess not so much like how New York Undercover was then, but similar, but you know what I'm saying, but new. Maybe like a Luke Cage type of vibe, but not, minus the superheroes. That would be interesting to see. Another show on our list was The Wire. And The Wire is like one of the best like dramas ever, like crime-based dramas ever. It was on HBO. I believe you can stream it. Well, I know you can stream it on HBO Max, but I think it's also on another streaming service. I'm not sure. But
Apple.
yeah, you can also purchase it anywhere. Just like The Sopranos, which is another dope show. But The Wire was like, man, like no one's a good person in The Wire. Like
Nobody.
nobody. Like it is the most gritty show. Granted,
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Boys. I heard The Boys is gritty, but like The Wire was like one of the most gritty crime dramas ever.
Yeah.
With like, solid casting, solid
Yeah,
black
definitely.
acting.
Dominic West.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he did that role well, and of course Idris. I mean, because first of all, Idris can do anything. So all y'all haters out there saying he can't be 007, just shut up.
Yeah. He was great.
He can literally play anything. He played Beyonce's husband. Okay, it's not really easy to play across from Beyonce. She sounds the same in every line. I'm just saying, I love you, Beyonce, for real, for real. But come on.
Movie was trash, though. Like,
It
all the
was
way around. It
so
was.
bad. Allie Larder tried her best to save it.
It
It
was. Oh, my goodness.
bad.
But yeah, you had a stellar cast. And like some people might not know if you're younger, you saw these actors in other like TV shows, not knowing that they came from The Wire.
Yeah.
Like for instance, like you said, you have Idris Elba, Dominique West, you have freaking Frankie Faison, shoot, Wood Harris, and he was actually like pretty dope. Seth Gilliam, like if you don't know Seth Gilliam, sorry, if you don't know him, he's in The Walking Dead as the pastor.
Oh, God.
He was in The
Yeah.
Wire. Awesome actor as well. Chad Coleman, he's also in The Walking Dead. Dang, I didn't realize a bunch of people that are in The Walking Dead are in this, are in The Wire.
Is very confusing because Walking Dead, the acting is trash, so I don't even know what's
At times,
happening.
it's good at times. At times, it depends on who the showrunner is, because they swap so freaking much that you'll have a like an amazing episode and then one where you're like, "Come on, fam. Like what is this? What am I watching?"
What
Like
happened?
they do some of the goofiest. We're not talking about The Walking Dead. Let's go back to let's go back to the let's
Back to half the time.
go back to The Wire. So what's the dude that was in Black Panther as the villain? Ah, crap.
Killmonger.
To play Killmonger. Who was his name? What's his name again?
Michael B.
There
Jordan.
you go. Michael B. Jordan is also in this. He's a kid in this.
Yeah, he's a kid. He a baby.
Yeah, he's a kid in this, like selling drugs. And I don't want to like leave that as a point, but it's something to think about.
It really was.
I didn't mean for that to happen.
Pause. Like, he was selling drugs.
I just meant to say that a lot of like big names, some of them were already big and some became big after The Wire. And what I mean by that is that the show was so huge in terms of what it was doing for TV that a lot of people were like catapulted to stardom from
Yeah.
being in this show. Even if you had small roles, you were, you know,
Yeah.
you shot up. But yeah, the show is, you know, it's a crime drama series where you have the police department that isn't on the up and up all the time. They're trying to solve these crimes and they're sucking at it. And so
Yeah, track.
they're in Baltimore, Maryland, and you know, and it's a rough
Wait,
neighborhoods.
body more.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Body
And
more.
they are, you know, they're trying to get these you start in on the show already, they're already behind. Like as soon as episode one starts, they're behind the when it comes to tracking or
Yeah.
you know, following the illegal drug trade, right? And
Literally
so
lose so hard.
yes, they're dying. And so what happens is they start to go about things in an I don't say unorthodox, but just not the proper way. Like they start doing surveillance on, you know, the guy selling drugs without a warrant. They start tapping payphones. They start doing a whole bunch of things to kind of get a lead because they're just losing. But in doing so, in trying to capture the criminals, they are losing themselves as police officers
Yeah.
and becoming more and more corrupt. And it gets to a point where, you know, they kind of have they bump heads in a sense morally. Like how far do you go in order to protect everyone? You know, and it gets to a point where like, you know, it's affecting their home life. You know,
Yeah.
their spouses are looking at them crazy because they're doing all this other stuff. And, you know, the head of the department is like wants to fire everybody, but they can't because those people are also bringing in, they're actually making arrests. You know what I'm saying? So
Right.
it's like, it's crazy. But then on the flip side, you see like what life is like from the drug dealers and where, you know, some people are doing it because they literally have nothing. Like they get paid from selling drugs and they go use that to buy the clothes that they need to wear. And then, you know, on the
Like
higher up,
house.
right, on the higher up, you know, side of things, you have people who are like, they're buying houses and trying to invest in real estate to try to switch their money to legal, you know, try to get out of selling drugs. And some of the other people who are, you know, they like selling drugs are like, no, we're not doing that. And so this
Yeah.
causes friction within the gangs. Other people try to move into there's so much crap, like, in terms of like, you know, just drugs and guns and fighting and, you know, at one point we get into what's also dope with the series is that each season had a different theme, where one season was like just trying to crack down on all the drugs that are being shipped left and right. The next season was about the seaport, where like the people that were working at the seaport were in charge of, you know, the docks and everything, but people are
Yeah.
shipping in illegal stuff through their docks. And in the midst of that is infighting between the union workers and the people who own the docks and all this other stuff. So like a lot of political things. Say that again.
That sounds like New York.
Yeah, like so yeah, definitely New York. And then outside of then I don't want to say the third season was like with a group of kids who were coming into the drug game. Some of them were you know, the seeds of the original drug dealers. And so there's this whole idea of like, you know, do I let my kids do this? Or, you know, should they, you know, do they live up to my name? There's some crazy stuff that happens in this show. Like it's really bananas what happens, but it's in terms of like storytelling, in terms of emotional investment, it was ahead of its time. Like
Yeah.
really crazy stuff in
Yeah.
that show. And it was on HBO, so you know it was ultra
Yeah.
violent and crazy.
It's like if you ever wanted to see lots of things that you can't see on regular TV, just go to HBO.
HBO is definitely one of those it's one of those channels, especially now. If you've seen Lovecraft Country, oh my gosh. Like
Not.
some of the most
I can't.
Oh my gosh.
I like it. I just haven't. I want to dedicate my time to it. Like, I want to dedicate my time into watching these episodes and really digesting what's happening. And every, I, you know, like I said, I don't get home until, you know, what the time o'clock, like, seriously, no. No, earmuffs. What the fuck o'clock is when I get home? Because I'm just at work all day.
No, I feel you. I feel you. It'd be hard to catch, and that's why it's great. I think sometimes with having streaming services that you can kind of catch up, you can binge some stuff. I would say don't go on Twitter though, because people love to spoil Lovecraft Country. Like, I have to watch that and then go on Twitter, and they just let all the tea out. Like, it's like you didn't know you if you didn't want to know who died, don't go on Twitter. Like,
Well,
they have
cool.
memes already. I was watching the season finale, and within minutes there was memes and gifs of stuff that happened in the episode, and I'm like, yo, people are like just getting off of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people are getting off of work, some people haven't had a chance, like they haven't put the kid, I mean, I know it's, it starts at 9, but some people are, busy, like, chill,
Exactly. With lies. Like, what kind of demons are you?
like just a little, just a little bit. But yeah, I love jumping into the discourse because it's cool talking about the shows, but they be spoiling it too much.
Not okay.
Another show, well, we're running low on time, but there's a bunch of other shows we wanted to mention, like The Sopranos. We went way back to The Heat of the Night, which,
Yes.
if depending on where you were, where you grew up and who you grew up with, you saw older shows like that, like In the Heat of the Night, Murder, She Wrote, Columbo. Like,
Those were your shows.
yeah, your parents, probably your grandma and them, had you watching some of these shows. If it wasn't soap opera stuff, Days of Our Lives and all that good stuff, it was probably Matlock. I'm telling you,
Definitely Matlock.
you were watching that.
You were watching Matlock, you were watching The Commish.
Yes, which I swear is all the same freaking show. Like,
They are.
I love Columbo, but man, it's if it's not. It's Matlock-ish,
Columbo
it's
was
yes. And then we even went to like shows like The Twilight Zone, which isn't like a drama in a sense of like an arcing story, but each episode in and of itself is a drama.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid. One of my favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone was the episode where like all the power goes out in a neighborhood, and the people start arguing over why the power's out, and to the point of like wanting to threaten other people. Like, all these conspiracy theories come about. Like, there's a guy who is trying to listen to like, I think he's trying to pick up like satellite or whatever, doing like his own ham radio and trying to pick up and see if there's like aliens and stuff like that. And they're like, it's your fault, you're messing with stuff, the government shut everything down. Like, just a lot of people blaming each other left and right. And
Wow.
it's slowly over time, people like get violent, and
That's Lord of
it's kind of as you see, though, as you like, they pull out from it, and you realize that it was all a this was it was something. I don't want to spoil it because it's a great episode. You can actually find it on Netflix, but it was a kind of a ruse to kind of see what these people would do. And it's crazy because these people are acting a fool over just the power going. And it's not just, I don't want to say just the power. It's all power. So, like, cars won't start. The telephones won't ring. Stuff that usually isn't affected by a power outage. It's not working. And so that's where all the, like, conspiracy theories comes to play. And anybody who was on the block that looked a little weird or sounded a little funny was looked at first as like, it's your fault. Like, something you did, Billy, something you did in your house caused this mess. So I'm gonna need you to go in your garage, turn that freaking radio. Like, it's nuts. But like, I liked the Twilight Zone because there was always like a slight twist. It wasn't necessarily what you thought what was happening, and it kind of made you think, like, and some of them were just nuts. Like, the movie itself is crazy, but like, some of it also was just like just think about like what's happening and how people are responding to this phenomenon. It's really, really interesting, and to this day, really interesting. I haven't seen the new Twilight Zone, with Peele, like his version of the Twilight Zone. I hear mixed things about it. I definitely want to check it out. When I get a chance, but like the original Twilight Zone is dope. Another show we wanted to talk about was Monk. Monk is a great show. Like, and it's funny.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a detective who suffers from, gosh, what? How many disorders does he have? He's like,
yeah, I think he was OCD. I know he had obsessive compulsive disorder, but there may have been some other things that I can't remember.
Was he a germaphobe too? I think. Oh, definitely. No, that might have been his brother. I know his brother wouldn't come out of the house; like he would just stay in the house.
Oh, his brother's probably agoraphobe.
Yes. Yeah. And so it starts out in a kind of tragic. He's a detective. He has all these issues, and it makes him hard to kind of like interact with people and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's instead, not instead. What happens though is that he meets someone, his future wife or his wife Trudy in the show, and she's able to kind of break down some of those conditions, or better yet, help him deal with some of these conditions on a regular basis. And she's unfortunately killed by an assassin, and you don't know why for majority of the show, like multiple seasons, you don't know why. That's an overarching like theme, but throughout the seasons though, he's solving crimes, and because he's so, you know, attentive and like, you know, just focuses on details, he's super good at solving crimes, like amazingly so. And but because of his OCD and his phobias and all these other things, he has to also see a shrink, or not a shrink. That I think that's a bad term. He has to see a therapist, and he also has an assistant. I don't know if shrink is a bad thing.
I still call him a shrink.
I don't know. Like I don't, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but you know, he sees a therapist. He also has an assistant that follows him around and that kind of helps him with his day-to-day stuff. And it's cool because you get to see, like, his mind is fascinating, and he can, like, figure out, like, the most ridiculous crimes with the help of, you know, his friends and everything. But then at the same time, you see another side, similar to The Sopranos. Like, you have, you know, Tony, like, killing everyone, but then he goes talk to a therapist about his crimes. In this case, we have Adrian Monk talking to a therapist trying to get over some of his compulsive, disorders and such. And then, you know, while he's talking to her, he'll figure out something. And then he has to go call the, you know, chief of police to be like, hey, blah, 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 blah. But that's like how he makes his money is by solving these crimes and helping the San Francisco Police Department. And so what you get really is a kooky, really funny, excellently written show.
Yeah.
I don't know how, because, you know, obviously this is an older show. I don't know how well it deals with certain phobias in terms of realism. Like, I don't know. I can only speak on, like, you know, like me having anxiety and things of that nature. I can only speak on that side. So I can't say if, like, they were showing the OCD stuff in a realistic manner. What I can say is that it's mad entertaining. like seriously, mad entertaining.
You know, that's a thing, like when a lot of shows don't actually show the disease or whatever the condition is, and they just use it for entertainment purposes, but they're like, but they just kind of don't really characterize the disease properly.
Yeah. And so that can be kind of, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want people to go watch Monk and be like, yo, they got this wrong. Like, I don't know. I'm just letting you know.
OCD, I can become a great, great cop too.
Yeah, that's not a thing. That's
not a thing.
Because he was already, granted, he had these issues before, but he had, you know, there was some training too. It wasn't just like he was an amazing detective overnight. It just happened that his disorders helped him be able to solve these crimes and to break these things down. But it also leads to hilarious moments, like his OCD, and like there's a episode where there's bombs or missiles or something that he has to like put them in order, like, you know what I mean, like it bothers him that they're out of order or not in the right alignment. I think it's bombs. And so like he's messing with them, and he's like, please someone stop me, because I can't stop touching these highly explosive, you know.
Oh my god. Tony Shalhoub. He's just,
A great
he brought
actor.
the character to life.
Yes, great actor. Great actor.
He's hilarious. I can't get enough of him. That's a good show. Monk is a great show. If you love Tony Shalhoub, then I recommend watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh,
Because
yes.
playing the dad. So yeah, he's a love. That's a guy I love. That's one of those actors that I watched when I was a kid. I'm like, I like him. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah. Good show.
And so
Many
we
good shows.
say that again.
I said so many good shows.
Yeah, it's we had a long list and we wanted to kind of speak on as much as possible, but with so many to talk about, and we might talk about them again, but like with so many, and it's like you kind of have to do it justice. And even here, we talked about The Wire and Grey's Anatomy. We kind of It was still sped up a bit because of timing, but there's a lot to kind of like break down in terms of how these shows were shot, the musical score, and was something that's interesting that we found out recently. So I got, for instance, I got the box set, some of the box sets of Scrubs, and noticing that the music in the box sets is different from the music if you watch Scrubs on Netflix. And it's because they didn't have the license for certain songs. Like they had the license to show it, on the show when it was airing, but they didn't have streaming licenses for some of the songs, and so they had to switch them. And so certain episodes I watched on TV was like, okay, this is the same, I get it. Certain episodes I watched on Netflix not knowing that there was a change. So when we got the box set, because Netflix took the show went off of Netflix, when we got the box sets, we're like, I don't remember this song. Like, this is the whole vibe is a little different now because I don't remember this song being played. And so that's it's interesting how TV shows and whatnot can change over time. And even from like just content and talent, like certain things don't fly today like they did back in the day. But then how music changes and how you go about trying to watch them now on streaming services, things can change. So even the stuff that we're talking about, like we could really break down these shows, on an extreme level. But we kind of just wanted to hit with a little bit of surface stuff to kind of, make it a conversation for the most part. But I think you should definitely check out some of these shows, especially if you have, the streaming services like HBO Max. I don't think Peacock is available just yet, but I plan on checking that out, at least for New York Undercover. With Grey's Anatomy, The Wire and all that, you can still stream a lot of these shows. And like I said, The Twilight Zone, at least the last time I checked, was on Netflix. But definitely check it out, especially a lot of them kind of tail or defined or helped usher in some of the shows that you like now. And so you might be, even that they're older, you might find something that you like, without even knowing it. And the good news with that is that the shows are over, most of them. So,
Yeah, so you don't have to be like, oh my God, when's the next episode coming out? No, dudes, they're done. They were done 20 years ago.
right.
So you just get it all into your in and out of your system in the same weekend. You're not doing anything, you're quarantined, like just get
Yeah, this is the time to catch up on old TV,
it
definitely.
all. You can watch all of the Golden Girls, like all of the Golden Girls.
That's such
It's
a
all.
great show.
It's an amazing show. You can
Such a
do
great
it.
show.
In fact, if you have the time, go and watch all 6 seasons of How to Get Away with Murder. I only recommend the first season because the first season is one of the best shows I've ever seen. The rest of it is like, okay, sure. Shonda goes out of control sometimes. What? I mean, I don't even know if Shonda was writing on that show. It's not, I mean, she didn't create that show. Somebody else created that show anyway. Peter Nowak created that show. But it's just part of her Shondaland. She produces it. But that, I'm telling you, man, How to Get Away with Murder, first season, out of control, good writing, good show. Then the rest of it, I was just like, what is happening
Yeah, it's well, you have a good idea, but you didn't plan on it popping for however long. It's like, hey, we gotta put something together. Like they just bought two more seasons, fam. Like we gotta put something together. But yeah, so
Exactly.
that is
Scandal.
Yeah, oh my gosh, Scandal.
There. We're ending right now.
I could not finish Scandal. I couldn't.
Horrible, horrible.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so that's our show for today. Just talk about some TV shows, some dramas that we liked. Because we had already talked about some of the sitcoms that we like. So it just kind of made sense.
Yeah.
Definitely subscribe, hit that notification bell so you know when the new episodes are coming out. Check back for our streaming, playing a whole bunch of different games. October is winding down, so we're gonna be done with all the scary games. We're gonna be start streaming a lot of other stuff. So definitely check out this, YouTube. Also be on the lookout for some cool things in the future. The Gamecast is going places, and that's all I'm gonna say. But
Word.
definitely, subscribe so you'll be, abreast of all that news. Also, let us know what you think in the comments if you want us to talk about a certain topic, whether it be like recent news or just something that nerds would like anime. I'm always down to talk about anime.
Word.
Let us know, and we'll, see if we can fit those things in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's all I got for house cleaning.
All right. Well, that was another episode. That was episode 967 of the Gamecast. So
Yes.
we are happy that you were with us. We love you, our fans, all three of you. And we hope to see you guys soon, which means that you guys are going to be taking care of yourselves. You're
Right.
going to be wearing your masks. You're going to be washing your faces and your butt.
Yes.
And hands, please. But have a good week, everyone. We'll see you next week. Be good. Get out there. Vote.
Yes.
Okay? You better have voted. And obviously, I need to do the same thing by the time we see you next week. So happy election day, everybody. Do the right thing and wear your mask. And yeah, that's all I got for you guys. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Say bye-bye, Hermione. Bye-bye.